What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Unexpected Podcast is brought to you by Simon Tolkien. Thanks, Simon. Thanks so much. We really appreciate you and the love you have for your grandfather's work. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an Unexpected Podcast. I'm Ez with a cold.
And I'm Lane with a sniffle.
And we are sniffling our way through Rings of Power.
And don't ever forget the sniffling.
Don't you dare.
And if you think you could, you shouldn't. We're coming to you from the Shire of America. Yeah, boy, you know it. The beautiful state of Ohio. You know what time it is in a little village called Amanda.
Amanda, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Dude.
You want to read that next part? Because yeah. I think it's fitting.
This episode, we're taking a page from the Rings of Power creative team and ditching the script and source material and just speaking our truths, okay? As we look back on season one of the Rings of Power. Now, that was written down for me, and I read it verbatim. And I just want you guys to know that.
Imagine if someone at Prime or involved with the team would have read something Tolkien read down.
Yeah.
And took it verbatim.
Oh, dude.
It'd be a different show.
Let me just...
We'd be in different moods right now, man.
I'm in a... Hey, listen right now.
You're in a good mood?
I'm in a great mood.
I'm in a great mood, too. So what are you implying?
But what I'm saying
is... I'd be in a bad mood if they got it right.
I think you can say what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And be in a good mood when you say it. And that is, I was wrong. Ez was wrong. Okay, you guys hear me? Ez was wrong.
I can't because your voice. You're losing your voice, actually.
My voice is dying. So actually, this is sort of a clever trick. So that way, and people are like, "That wasn't really Ez, was it?" Because his voice.
Are you scared of what you're about to say? Don't be scared of it.
No, I'm not. I'm just sort of making a joke, trying to, anyways.
Friends, why? Because it's about to get real dark. Is that why?
There's a lot to talk about. I'll just go ahead and say it right out the gate. Celebrimbor was done dirty.
Yeah.
Was done dirty. Let's just
who did him dirty? Would you think Elrond did him? I mean
we're not talking cast and crew. We're not talking about that the execution of the structure that was laid out. But you asked for it. Look, we brought a lot of perspectives in on the show.
Yeah.
We had the Hobbit Hotline every week. People came in. Some people loved it.
Yeah.
Some people didn't love it.
I bet some people who loved it, if they've gone and done some digging, might not love it as much anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I was wrong too.
Yeah.
I was wrong too. When I look back at I don't think it was bad that we were wrong. We were optimistic, right? Yeah. We believed, we just watched a video.
Yeah.
Right? you know, here, full transparency, Nerdrotic, right? Some people like him, some people don't.
Sure.
But I feel like he probably has a couple sources that you and I are not privy to.
Sure.
Because his most recent video, the second half of it, he lays out questions that we've had for 5 years, right? And we always took the perspective that we are going to remain open-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even still, we are going to. But,
absolutely.
You know, like leading up to the show and then even getting into the show and then seeing how it just sort of lacked to like develop in certain ways and then to see how characters that weren't invented were kind of represented.
Right.
Yeah, I mean like to hope and to think that it was going to turn out differently, I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that I was wrong. I'm glad that we both chose to be optimistic leading up to it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I remember how hyped I was about the orcs.
Yes,
remember how I was like, I was sort of on the fence. I was like, I don't know. I mean, it'll be fine. I just wasn't in the headspace to get amped for a show. And then I saw those orcs, and there was that big long article about how we're going to explore the culture of orcs. And I was like, let's freaking go! That's so crazy.
That's creative.
That's almost like the antithesis of my ideal show of getting deep and sweaty into the Shire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Four Farthings, the Lost Book of, or the Book of Red March, or whatever we're going to do someday.
Yes.
Right. With Cam.
Right.
We are going to do it.
We're going to do
it. We're going to get funding.
I'm down.
We're going to be showrunners.
I'm down.
Actually, we need to hit up Tolkien Untangled because I think he should run every show.
I think, yeah.
But relating to Middle Earth. But, you know, even that hype that got me excited for the show wasn't even fulfilled. Orc culture? Yeah. What did we learn about orc culture?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. I thought we would get orc names. I thought we would get conversations between orcs. I thought we would see some sort of like, even if it was ridiculous and bogus and like, oh, bringing humanity to orcs. We didn't even get that.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't even get that. So that one thing that I was like, dang, man. The one thing that got me hooked and ready for the show and then got me excited for the whole thing, even that sort of let me down and I was wrong about. But anyway, you know, if you do still enjoy the show, if you've rewatched it, which... You've watched it a few times, right?
Yeah, I've watched it once. I'm just kind of click, huh? But I've watched it once
because I haven't.
No, I was gonna say I watched it once, and I did when Lottie and I talked last episode.
Yeah,
I wanted to bring that fresh perspective on because I knew that I had done some more research, I had listened to different perspectives.
Yeah,
I don't want to steal anybody else's.
No.
Joy.
That's what we're doing.
None of that. Yep. We want you guys. There are things that I've told Lane before we started. I love that they did in the show. There are things I'm like,
we're
going to
talk
really
about
cool.
it. We're
really
going to talk
cool.
about
yes,
it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But they fundamentally did something I did not fully understand. And I'm trying to itch, you know, to scratch the surface on what it was. It's the time compressing.
That's the compressing. I took you forever to say time compressing. That's so beautiful.
Oh,
it's
my.
It's the time compressing. The pressing. So that's the biggest thing for you, the time compression.
Well, because
I think that's the root of all, the root of evil. Yeah. I think that's the root of probably the problems with the show.
Yeah. Because actually now it's irreversible.
Yeah.
There is nothing. You can't in season two fix that. You can't make changes that are going to. I'll be shocked if they do something. I'll eat my humble pie again, you know. But
someone messaged us and said one way they could make this, like salvage season one is if like, I can't remember who, it was a beautiful message. So I'll try to give a shout out later on down the road as we're getting to the Silly Marillion. But are we going to say that wrong the whole time? I think we are.
We're
going to call it the Silly Marillion.
It's the Silly Marillion. It's our version of
coverage. But he pretty much said like the only way season one is salvageable for me now is if like season two opens with Galadriel waking up and Celeborn saying, "What's wrong, dear?" And he's like, and she goes, "I just saw something, a vision.
Holy.
Of what would have been had I followed vengeance instead of truth."
Whoa.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yeah." So like in the same way that that Jake's theory of Gil-galad actually being Sauron in disguise would have saved it for me, because it would have saved Gil-galad.
Something really interesting. Yeah.
That would work for me. But yeah, anyway, I think you're right. The whole point of like they've gone a bridge too far, I think, is really true. And we'll get into it, like kind of what's happened since the show has come out.
Yeah.
A lot of like damage control, a lot of like lying about not, we're not just not being, which a lot of shows aren't, I guess, but it's even more damning for them. But it's like not really being very honest about their numbers and viewership. Like even like the demographic of viewers, they're like, oh, young people love it. And it turns out like 15 to 32, there was almost no one. And most of the audience was like 65 and over.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was just because they were trying to, you know, sleep aid. The Amazon exec that fell asleep during screening.
Huh? What?
Yeah. Fell asleep during watching an episode.
Jeez.
And then even like just all of the things they're kind of like retroactively saying, like our view of Halbrand in the show isn't even really how he's truly represented because it was all through Galadriel's perspective. And this is the showrunner saying this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? They're trying to retcon with their own. So in my mind, one of the things that people have said is they're so upset, like up top is so upset about how it's been received, about like the way they've underestimated, because there's a large group of fans that are very upset. Or at least they're not even upset. They're just like, I mean, that's not what I was hoping for.
They're out.
Maybe worse than upset. They're just sort of like,
they might just
meh.
Yeah,
it's meh. And one of the things that's the rumors that about there is that like they're going to totally reboot everything.
Yeah. Okay.
And in my mind, talking about how you can fix what you've already done, that might be the only way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how do you restore characters that are actually part of the story later on, like Elendil,
right?
Gil-galad. I think you got to do damage control on Galadriel. You got to bring in Celeborn.
Yeah.
The whole Halbrand Sauron thing. Like, how do you fix those? I don't think they're fixable. I think you've set a path, and you're gonna have to go down this invented storyline,
right,
until you get to the one thing that actually did happen with the ring being cut from Sauron's hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the only point you have to hit. That's the only pillar you got to hit.
Yeah. So, gee, mini Christmas, man. Where to begin? Like, dude, okay. I think when we first started off, I was like, all right, there's no, we had heard a little bit. I didn't know how significant the time compression was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you get going in episode 1 and 2. Guess what? First age stuff's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, we were told
they couldn't even show any of that.
Like,
remember?
Whoa, dude, yeah. Finrod, what's going on?
Remember,
man?
My wish list for how it would open would be the Battle of Wrath, the end of the War of Wrath. Sorry,
yep.
And seeing like Sauron, like Morgoth being sent to the void, and Sauron like emerging from the wreckage, and like
yes.
And so we kind of got part of that, though. We kind of got like, you know, first age stuff, like you said,
elements of that. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So they show that, and then you can kind of say, well. You know, they didn't do times or anything, but they you kind of imagine. We show a younger Galadriel,
right.
Then we see her grow up.
Right.
Now, they start with that. There is no reason they couldn't have continued with that theme.
Right.
So for them to say, fundamentally, they could not do this, you know, time jumps like this. And then, well, what about the human characters interacting with the elves? That you didn't need them.
Right.
Guys, there's literally a YouTube series that you can go watch where in which you can tell a wonderful tale in seasons 1 and 2. I'm full in on this story. And you can talk about you can show the second age. You can, and with not like going into source material that you don't have. This guy I don't want to miss it.
Tolkien Untangled. Yep.
This was
the channel, and these were the videos that changed me, guys.
That changed lane.
I stumbled upon them.
I have watched.
Yep. As is seen them as well, and the thing about them is, this guy is so convincing. This guy, and it's also beautiful too because he released the first two videos before any of the show came out.
Yeah,
or he released them as the show came out, so he had to he recorded them before, right? He challenged himself to.
They were released right before though. And
okay,
then he had recorded them
prior to that. Right.
Yeah,
so. I didn't know if they were released concurrent with the episodes, and then
nope.
So
all of those
the
kinda,
first two,
yeah, the first
the
two,
first two,
and then they kind of came out.
So he has six videos.
Yeah,
one on season one.
Yep,
another on season two, season three, season four, season five, and then a 2-hour standalone video at the end just on how the final episode should be laid out and why it's so important.
Yeah,
so this is impressive for a few reasons, right?
Yeah.
Number one, he released it before the show came out. So he was not reacting to or retconning anything.
And that sold me. I've listened to the first one.
That was huge.
And part of the second.
And he even says in there, he's like, yeah. I haven't seen the show yet. That show hasn't even come out yet. This is, and the second challenge was, I'm going to do 5 seasons, just like they say they're going to. And I'm only going to limit myself to the materials and the sources they say they have the rights to.
Yeah.
And he even does that.
He suspects, and I think many people do, that they had special agreements. Yes. Other special things that they could go to in terms of rights, because I don't understand how some things allowed to be.
Let me tell you why we're plugging this guy. A, because he convinced me. B, because I'm pretty sure, I had to do a double take it as, because he didn't look like the same guy when he came in.
Yeah.
He changed you too.
Oh, dude, 100%.
And the other reason too is that it sucks you in. Like, these videos are so good. Absolutely. They suck you
paint
in.
Such a good picture.
It's almost like storyteller. Yeah. If we don't, like, if we can't have this show, it's almost kind of like satisfying to know that he figured this out.
Well,
right. And then and the other thing too is that the way that he will go into something and say, okay, so this character we don't have the rights to, but we could do this as a way around it.
Yep.
Or we can create this, like, he creates the
character. Because those things have to happen. We know that.
Yes. Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to create this character, but I'm going to pattern him on someone that Tolkien actually did write about.
Yep.
The way he lays it out, go check him out. It's amazing. He's incredibly humble. It's incredibly entertaining. And it doesn't lack anything. It doesn't like, there's not, you watch those and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm an hour in. How am I an hour in?
Look,
they're beautiful.
Real quickly on your one point here, where you said, because I think it's one of the it's in his first season, wherein which he's talking about one of the princes from Numenor coming over and building a relationship with Gil-galad and Círdan and everything, and then them wondering for years whether or not what happened to this Numenorean prince who went back and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, you don't have the right to that, but we could kind of change it. We could call that character, and he just picked Hallbrand as the name of character. Just you know, whatever.
When he uses character names that we know from the show, and like Eärendil becomes Isildur's wife. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so he does some cool things like that. Now, what the show did, they gave us Adar, but if you look at that character and all the theories around like Maglor, So okay, you kind of did that thing a little bit, which was you're trying to maybe say like maybe we don't have the right to name that character, so we're making something like it. But then, dude, and that can be a cool little thing, but when the structure is this off, it is a little bit, it's wild.
That loses
to me.
Value. Like Maglor, the Maglor Adar thing.
I'm going into the show, I was very excited because you're talking Rings of Power. So what do? You go look up, you called the Dagon thing Rings of Power. Right. You called the whole bad boy Rings of Power.
Right.
And I cannot believe that this is a show about Rings of Power.
Yeah.
Because
where are the rings?
Where are the rings? There's a way, but like looking at the lore and looking at what happens and how the progression of rings being created, the hundreds of years that Annatar spent with Celebrimbor building these bad boys and going through it. And then the act that Celebrimbor is able to kind of do something away from him and seek, realizing how far gone he got with the Lord of Gifts and stuff. You're like, you don't even know how Hallbrand has the knowledge that and he comes in and
the knowledge
he has
is mixing metals. That's all he has. You thought about mixing them.
I mean, it is such, I hate to say this, but because Lane, I very much want people who have strong opinions positively. We fought for that early on when we were doing our stuff. Yeah. We want it. Bring it, baby. If you're passionate about it and you love it, go for it. That's fine. But at the same time, and that's why I also want to say, we're going to go over the things that we do like. But this, gosh, it's the Rings of Power.
Yeah.
And I just am, I don't understand, you know, where they were going with, you created Mordor, but Sauron had nothing to do with
right.
it. Right. Where in which he
it's
goes,
dude, yeah.
the forging of the one, and then you've got this, you know, like, man, I just don't understand a lot of where they're going in terms of just the Rings of Power story, like the actual rings and how they're given out and who created them. And what, I mean, is Celebrimbor going to continue making rings now?
I mean, almost
knowing that his craft,
the forging of those three almost kind of seem accidental. And then like the ownership they gave in Galadriel of like, It just felt so.
It was it just splitting contrived, them into three.
Yeah, you know, instead of one two. Will rule two, or one will corrupt, two will
right.
compete, three, and it's like the other. It's like
you know,
next. Like these are elves, right? These are elves who are the wisest creatures of all, and you've got freaking Celebrimbor and Elrond standing there going, "Oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that before."
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we should make free. It's like. Well, oh, gosh. You're patronizing. You're treating us like idiots as fans.
Yeah.
Thinking we're going to go, oh, it's more Lord of the Rings.
Here's the thing, buddy. I've never seen, you kept bringing it up during the show, the Gil-galad character arc. It's wild.
Garbage,
it's unbelievable.
It's disrespectful to Gil-galad. It's disrespectful to Tolkien.
When I was listening on the way here and Lottie was hearing the story, so I was listening to some YouTube videos where they're talking about Gil-galad's character profile and some of his inspirations and mm-hmm. his family and mm-hmm. and Círdan and taking care mm-hmm. of him and the whole mm-hmm. connection back to the First Age. Sure, Galadriel has some of that as well, but this is the daggone king, dude.
Yeah.
And it just, like, when she heard it, she was like, oh, that's Galadriel. And I'm like, actually, yeah. who he's talking about is Gil-galad.
Let me ask you this too. So this is another okay, I feel like we're all over the place because it's just like it's my fault because my head's racing.
Yeah,
and I'm trying not to be overly, you know, I'm just gonna be honest. We're just gonna be honest this episode.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah,
so to address the time jumping and time compression thing, another thing that has sold me on Tolkien Untangled, go listen to this guy, he addresses the time jumps.
Yeah, he does.
And he finds creative. Like, the whole opening is so incredibly beautiful with the whole, you think it's a grandson and a grandfather. And it turns out it's the twin brothers.
Twin brothers.
It's Elrond and Elros. And it's this shock moment where you're like, and that in itself, and he talks about it. The main, Tolkien, because he said, Tolkien said this, the themes of the Silmarillion are death and the desire for deathlessness.
Deathlessness, yeah.
And how death is a gift.
Yeah.
And how people who are given the gift of death want to be deathless and vice versa.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's crazy. But anyway, so he addresses the time jumps and he does it in a way that works. Like, the first two seasons focus on elves. The third and fourth seasons focus on Numenoreans and men and also incorporate the elves. So the time jump is naturally there.
Right,
and then the final season works on the alliance, right? And there's all the threads that he weaves. It's beautifully done.
Yeah.
What were we talking? Gil-galad, okay?
Yeah,
so let me ask you this, right? One of the main... okay. From watching season one, right? Because it's setting everything. Season one sets everything up, right?
Yes, yeah.
Who would you say the main foe of Sauron is? The main adversary to Sauron, based on the show?
I guess Galadriel.
Yeah, right.
I mean, right?
Who was the foe of Sauron in the Second Age in Middle-earth? It was Gil-galad. Yeah. It was Gil-galad. Like, that's one of the things, too. He was the one elf lord who said, nah, I'm going to stand against this guy.
Yeah.
I'm staying here, and I'm going to stand against him.
Well, I mean, interestingly, like, right, so Annatar, as he moves around, is, like, those individuals are not deceived by him, and then Celebrimbor is.
Right.
And
in this show, you've got Gil-galad, who's almost kind of deceived.
Yeah.
Or just indifferent.
Right,
and it's the wrong characterization, totally. But,
and the reason that they're weakening, or that they're being the elvish people, that they're being diminished, has nothing to do with Sauron.
No,
in Mordor,
it's because the tree has black leaves.
I mean, really, what is, like? It's hard to kind of make, and it's sort of like what we need to correct that is Mithril, dude. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, so. Wait a second, it's not Sauron. And that, like, when you look at the Second Age and you look at all the arc, the main character is Sauron, right?
Yeah.
And his rise to power, him being, you know, knocked down and taken out by the Numenoreans, corrupting them, that's way later, right?
Yeah.
But early on, it is all this battle, right? Of this growing darkness, them trying to figure out what's going on. So, yeah, that's there in terms of Galadriel doing that. That's all fine. Galadriel can do that, and other characters can do it too, because that's actually what happened.
Right.
Is that she's actually wandering around doing her thing, looking for, struggling with ambition and then her wisdom and all those different things.
Right. With Celeborn there too.
Yeah, exactly.
And their daughter.
Their daughter. Dude. I mean, it is just wild to me the way the time compression.
Celebrion.
Yes. Yeah. The way that this has sort of affected what they do moving forward and how character. The shortchanging of these...
That's the biggest thing to me.
Yeah.
Is I think that people might hear us, especially if they're enjoying the show. They might hear us and go, oh, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
It's just couple, more yeah. toxic,
right?
You know, right. idiots. Like, they, man, wow. We thought they were shills. Turns out they're not. They're just negative.
Yeah, ironic, right? Yeah.
Right. And so, but I would say, no, that's not even what it is. What I, like, if you're enjoying the show, I feel like a sense of responsibility because you could be enjoying the show a lot more. And yeah. if you're not enjoying the show, I know what you mean now. Because someone said this to me perfectly. I don't want to say her name because I don't want to give her, I don't want to like put her on the spot if she doesn't want the attention.
That's yeah.
But we said this before. She was enjoying the show.
Yeah.
I brought up Tolkien Untangled on one of the Hobbit Hotlines reviews or something.
Okay.
For one of the episodes. She went and watched the videos. And the message I got back was, wow, I see what you mean. She yeah. was like, we were getting string cheese this whole time when we could have been getting queso.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we want to talk about this is
yeah.
Go watch it for yourself. Go watch these like watch it, 10 hours worth of content. No, 12. Yeah. 12 hours worth of content. Go watch it, think about it, digest it, compare it to just one season of what we have and tell me which one is a more inspiring, motivating, hopeful, beautiful storyline.
Yeah.
You tell me. Yeah. And if you still think Rings of Power, I say that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
But sure. if you change your mind, I would say I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
About that. You know, it's like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are. The other thing is that there's this. It's not just us.
Right.
It's not just like Lane and I or people who either like the show or don't like the show. There were. It appears. I could be totally wrong, but just from all of the. Before Lane and I do these shows. We go out, we research articles, we look at what people are saying. People yeah. who are professional reviewers who right. go on and leave right. reviews
yeah.
and also people who have sources yeah. and whatnot and yada, yada, yada. It seems like there was some trouble going on early on yeah, in this yeah, yeah. as yeah. to do you stay super true
yeah.
to this
and,
or do you not?
Yeah.
And it seems like what won out was this idea that like, we need to tell whatever works for us. Mm-hmm. Like we need to do what yeah. we think works in terms of like casting and we want to have Numenoreans. We want yep. these things. They may not be in what, they may not happen the way that, you know, is dictated or laid out, outlined yeah. in Tolkien's yeah. work, but this is what we want and we're going to do it. And that's, hey, okay, you did it. And I just, you know.
It's interesting too, when we're talking about like integrity to a, or... Is that the word I want to use? Like in,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, I'm talking about like loyalty to source material. I guess is what I'd say.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking about this now. I had forgotten when Christopher Tolkien died.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was 2020.
Yes,
Amazon yep. acquired the rights late 2017, right when we started the show.
Yes,
this podcast, yeah. right?
Yep, yep.
Okay, and I'm just thinking now about like when Tom Shippey was fired.
Yeah,
because the top, the powers that be early on. It wasn't Simon Tolkien. It wasn't other people in the Tolkien estate. It was still Christopher Tolkien.
Right.
Christopher Tolkien died in 2020. Tom Shippey was fired in 2020.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing when they talk about Tom Shippey having access to the top in terms of like having control over the show and what happens below is that he had access to Christopher Tolkien.
Yeah.
And that Christopher would have fought like hell to make sure that this didn't take... It didn't take divergences.
Yeah. Let right? me, since you brought this up and since my voice is failing, if you wouldn't mind,
I'll
slide this over here to you.
Okay, so how
we,
so?
We pulled up sort of this, you can kind of like, you know, move around here.
Okay, yeah.
This was an interview that he gave. We've always wondered what happened to Tom Shippey. You know, what was the deal? What Corey Olson was, you know, the Tolkien professor is out there.
Huge computer, by the way.
Yeah, holy crap, awesome, right?
That's
you know?
Gorgeous.
But there was all this talk about, was he let go? Was he fired?
It was this big miss. We turned it into a joke. We were like, Corey Olson fired Tom Shippey.
Yeah, we're just kidding around. I mean,
because it was like,
we're a comedy podcast.
Well, and it felt disingenuous, too, that he was kind of like, well, he's my friend. I'm not going to talk about it, but I can't. I'm like, dude, you're a jerk. And turns out now that he's a bit of a shill, it sounds like, or should I have not said that? Like, really just kind of standing up for the show when.
Yeah, it does seem like.
Corey Olson.
Yeah,
it like, kind of defending stuff, creative differences they've taken when you'd think someone who teaches about Tolkien wouldn't take that stance. It's just sort of odd. It's really odd. So anyway, so you got Christopher Tolkien who dies. the Tolkien estate is a new, and I think at the time I remember us talking about kind of like, well, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe we'll get a little bit of freedom. Like, what were we thinking? Maybe that's not what this needed at all. But it seems like at that point, all those people who spearheaded the show, who saw the show in a different light, were all kind of fired or let go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
But this interview supposedly is the reason they fired Tom Shippey. Do you want me to read all this?
Just at least for some here. So
Have you read some of this before?
So I want you to read this right here. So okay. Tom.
So Tom, what do you think about the video? This is the video that came out that showed kind of the writers.
Creative team.
Yes, the creative team behind Rings of Power, which we responded to. Yeah, I remember responding to this.
Yep.
Well, it doesn't really give much away. The map, which can be seen in the video, does not reveal much information. It does not contain place names or anything. The map nevertheless reveals that this is the Second Age, as Numenor is still there. He's talking like he wasn't even involved. However, this creates a lot of problems because we don't know much about the Second Age. How so? Was the question.
Yeah.
It's difficult because the Second Age kind of stopped twice. Once with the fall of Numenor, and then about 150 years later with the Last Alliance and the defeat of Sauron. The end of the Second Age on a map looks about the same as the beginning of the Third Age in terms of place names, coastlines, or border lines. In addition, the difference to the middle of the Second Age is already much greater. Numenor is still listed on the map. The place names are different. We are literally before the transformation of the world by Iluvatar. Or Iluvatar.
Yeah.
It will be of great importance for the series when exactly the plot takes place, at which point in the Middle-earth history something happens. This was one of our difficulties when creating a map for the Second Age because you have to determine very precisely what date this map should be from.
Yeah,
of course they didn't. Of course they didn't want him working on the show. Tolkien wrote some
of
it down.
He's getting real technical.
But as far as the Second Age goes, the information we have is a 3-page timeline of the appendices to the Lord of the Rings, which they had the rights to, and the list of kings of Numenor, which they had the rights to, and a little more material in the unfinished tales. But that's about
He said that. Mm-hmm. He said they have a little bit of material from the unfinished tales.
As far as the Second Age goes.
Oh, okay.
That's what we know about the Second Age.
Gotcha.
And the map information. So this is interesting, this too, because we didn't know about this interview until this Nerdrotic video. This must have gotten buried. This must have been...
Yeah.
It was with a German news source. So I'm guessing they didn't broadcast it here and say, hey, by the way, you want to know why Tom Shippey, why we're not working with him anymore, or why we let him go? He gave an interview for this with this German news website. Go check it out. No, they probably, Sarah's making faces at me. They probably intentionally buried this. How much does you want me to read?
I'll kind of go back and look through some of it here. Okay. But, I just think it's interesting to kind of hear.
Now, and let's not forget who Tom Shippey was, guys. Author of the century. Shippey had like a kind of an interesting, I don't know all the details, so if you are like a Shippey fanboy or fangirl, forgive me, but he taught a lot of the same universities that Tolkien taught at, was kind of a, not a contemporary, but like sort of like a protege or something of his. He wrote this, which is, I would say, the comprehensive, next to Humphrey Carpenter's biography on Tolkien, is like the comprehensive work on Tolkien as an author and as a man, even.
Yeah.
Author of the century. And so this is a guy who I would say probably almost as well as Christopher knew Tolkien as an author and as a linguist and as a philologist. So this is a dude who, I don't know how much he was involved in Lord of the Rings, the films. He was in the appendices. If you go to the appendices and you watch like the sort of the mini docs they put together on Tolkien, he was in there. He gave excerpts. He contributed a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking maybe he probably had problems with the trilogy and Jackson's interpretation, but not to the point where he was ever brought on board and then fired or something like that. I would think that Peter Jackson, if Shippey would have been on board with the films as a consultant, wouldn't have been like, hey, you got to get this guy out of my way so I can do what I want to do. Because Jackson himself said, we want to make sure we don't put our own stuff into the trilogy. We want this to be Tolkien's story, adapted where it needs to be, but not our own. We want it to be timeless. We don't want to put our own political ideology in here or our own views or whatever, because it's not our story. We didn't create the story, so we don't have the right to put it in an adaptation.
Yeah.
that doesn't seem to be the same vibe here. It just doesn't. That's the overall thing that I think is frustrating, is you got people who are, they're looking at the Mona Lisa and they're going, can I just put a little crayon picture in the background there? But they think they're making a masterpiece.
Yeah.
To quote one Jim Harbaugh.
Oh my gosh.
Some people are standing on third base and think they hit a triple.
Yeah.
Just because you're standing on third,
right,
doesn't mean you got yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's talking about Ryan Day. Okay. So go yeah. blue. But yeah. I mean, I kind of think this about these showrunners. Like, they just, and maybe it's not even them, just it's easy to target the guys who are like in charge, quote unquote. From different things that we've seen, different things that we've heard, it seems to be kind of a concerted effort to get out the old guard, forget about the story itself. We just want to borrow the license. We want to borrow the intellectual property. We want to like almost kind of like hijack this fandom and just do whatever we want to.
Yeah.
Because watch, it's going to be way better.
Yeah.
So does
no. And this is why. So I bring this up again because yeah. as you were mentioning and talking about all of that, talking about a free hand and just doing sort yeah. of
okay.
what you want
to
do.
So
right?
this is from the interview. This is a question. You want me to read this? You want to read
yeah.
this?
So, yeah. Yeah. You, so does Amazon have a free hand in the interpretation?
Okay.
And read this in full and just we'll kind of.
Amazon has a relatively free hand when it comes to adding something since, as I said, very few details are known about this time span. And this is going to get into the pillars, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tolkien estate will insist that the main shape of the Second Age is not altered. You can look at this season one. This is my own excerpt now.
No, so I know.
Breaking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's already changed things.
Changed. 100,
lots of things. Yeah. And you can't, here's my problem. I've heard them defend this.
See,
I've heard them say.
He's speaking from a place of, this is what Tom Shippey thinks.
Yes.
This is a no-go. You can't do this.
But this is something I've heard the showrunners and different people involved in the creative team say that I just, like, this is wacko. They're like, well, you know, in terms of changing the story, Tolkien never said that Galadriel and Sauron didn't have a thing for each other, so.
Yeah, what?
It's like, just because he didn't say something. So you're telling me he has to write a story and then go write like a commentary and say, this didn't happen, 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 this didn't happen. That doesn't mean the creative license, you can just go, well, he didn't say it didn't happen.
Right.
That's insane. That's like being like, well, mom didn't say I couldn't break the cookie jar with a rock.
Yeah, hold on here. Yeah, no. You bring up an interesting point. So instead of going with, this is what was said did happen, and let's try to adapt that, we said, well, this, you know, here's what we want to do, and it doesn't say that didn't happen.
Right.
That's what's right. going
it's
on.
Justification.
Man, you know? Yeah. It's
like, I'm going to do something I want to do. Well, you know, I mean, it's not.
But like, what, I mean, yeah. So what, I guess, what's the response to, you know, the fact that this character and this character weren't alive at the same time?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like right. these, like you've put people in positions that were not, I mean, even the sequence in terms of rings and the way things are being developed in terms of just the rings of power.
You have Galadriel being saved by an invented character who turns out to be Sauron.
Yeah.
I'd say that alters some pillars.
Yeah.
I just think it does. I think it alters a lot of pillars.
Yeah. So, but what's interesting is what he says. What
Sauron invades Eriador, is forced backed by a Numenorean expedition. It returns to Numenor. There he corrupts the Numenoreans and seduces them to break the ban of the Valar. All this, the course of history must remain the same, but you can add new characters and ask a lot of questions like, what has Sauron done in the meantime? Okay. Where was he after Morgoth was defeated? Theoretically, Amazon can answer these questions by inventing the answers, since Tolkien did not describe them.
Now, hold on, though. His earlier lines, right, are that you can't change the history of these things. I think the way he's speaking here is Sauron, at the beginning of the Second Age, where is he at? He doesn't think, in my mind right here, that they're doing the time compression. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think he's speaking from a place of saying, okay, if you want to talk a little bit about maybe what Sauron is doing, you know, right afterwards or whatever, maybe he thought they were going to go with the Annatar angle where in which he was going to be bouncing around doing different stuff.
And I think to myself, you don't know where Sauron is, so you're going to put him right in the face of your main character. You want me to finish that? There's more.
Yeah,
I didn't finish it.
So,
that's what Amazon... but it must not contradict anything which Tolkien did say. That's what Amazon has to watch out for. It must be canonical. It is impossible to change the boundaries which Tolkien has created. It is necessary to remain Tolkienian. Would you describe this show as Tolkienian?
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing, is that there's so many changes, dude. Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it is.
I'm going to say, okay, because I've done this. Actually, yeah. this show has driven me back to the trilogy.
Yeah.
And I watch the trilogy, and I think about going and watching Rings of Power again to give it just for posterity. And I can't even make myself. I'm like, dude, there's a reason those films struck a chord. There's a reason those films made us want to read the books, and then reading the books makes us want to watch the films.
Yeah.
Even with The Hobbit, even all the flaws in The Hobbit and how it's very different, and some things are forced, and you got Legolas running up like doing Matrix stuff, which is fine, whatever. I don't care. I care about that way less than I care about things that they did in Rings of Power.
Yeah.
It feels like I've heard people say this too, and I'll say I agree with this one. It feels like a very generic fantasy show. Like, if you took off Rings of Power, I would watch, and if you change the names, I'd watch this and be like, I mean, is this Lord of the Rings? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's right. it's Second Age, it's in the Silmarillion.
Here's something that you've mentioned. I'm gonna lead you right back into that point here. So, does the Tolkien estate have a veto on changes? Do they have a veto on changes? Yes, the Tolkien estate keeps a very careful eye on everything and is quite capable of saying no.
Yeah,
they retain a veto over everything that concerns Tolkien.
Now
enter
Simon Tolkien.
There you go.
Christopher dies. They were getting vetoed before that, right?
Yeah.
Christopher dies, and we heard about how his health was failing.
Yeah.
We're like, he doesn't have long. He's old. Like, he's going to pass on. He dies. They get rid of Tom next. They get rid of the people who spearheaded the show and wanted to stay faithful to the writings, like Alguido, whatever her name was, and then someone else too. Gosh, I can't remember. Anyway, the reference in this video we're talking about. And then, you get Simon Tolkien, who thought the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the problem with Peter Jackson was he was too faithful and he put too much of the book in the movies.
Yeah.
You get him in charge. He has the power of veto, and he's the one who says, hey, I want Sauron to be like Walter White.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. There's so many Breaking Bad references. I don't understand. Like, it was just because they worked on the show and it was hit, and they're like, wait, man, let's translate this to Middle Earth. It doesn't make any sense. It'd be like me saying, I teach elementary. Maybe I can go run a Fortune 500 company the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, dude.
Yep, I know.
Also, like the whole Mithril thing too, right? The Mithril is going to fix the tree, which is going to help us. Would be like me cutting an extension cord in half and going, I got a piece of candy. That'll fix it.
Yeah.
I'll eat the candy and I'll be able to fix it, or it'll solve itself. They're so unrelated. And I just think they're putting, I think that maybe the other thing that drives me nuts is they're putting so much work into inventing stuff that doesn't even match up and work.
Yeah.
That it's like, you could have just worked less hard and adapted the stuff that was there.
Well,
like this guy for Tolkien Untangled, like he's on. Yeah.
Well, okay, so you want to bring in whatever character you want to create around your pillar characters. So you have Galadriel, Gil-galad, Elrond, maybe Círdan, right, or whoever. If you're focusing on the elves,
Celeborn,
I mean, Celebrimbor, right? I mean, okay, so all those characters can have sub characters, and you could tell all these different stories and arcs,
right?
And as he dictates, you can have some interaction with Numenor. But what happens first, and what it looks like, and I could be wrong, but Tom Shippey seems to be saying these things have to happen, you know, in order, right? So you actually need Sauron sort of going to war, this growing darkness or whatever that is sort of creeping up on Lindon, the king, on the various elven kingdoms, and that's not happening.
No.
At all.
Well, their leaves are turning black, so I guess maybe that's the representation, but it doesn't even make any...
Who's doing that?
Exactly. That's my thing. How are we supposed to... As an audience, we're supposed to look and go, oh, that's Sauron doing that. No, I'm thinking like you need Samwise Gamgee. Like it doesn't even make any sense. Like he's going to ignore
the stuff fading.
Exactly. A bunch of questions that are not answered. And even if they did give us answers, I don't think they would be real answers. Because some of the people working on the show know about as much about the Second Age as we do.
Yeah.
That might be part of it as that might be part of it. If you look at the extent yeah. of fans who know the second age, and then hearing how they were going to hire that one director or that one writer who could quote the events of the second age for almost verbatim, and then thought, "Nah, we don't want this guy."
Yeah.
That shows yeah, me sure. it's a bunch of people who go, no one's read the Silmarillion anyway. No one cares about these characters, these stories. We're going to do our own thing.
Well, it sounds like they were told that they could. I mean, it sounds like yeah. a lot of things like what we're learning is that they wanted, like Lane has said often, it seems like Peter Jackson was halfway involved. Half of this is sort of little nods towards Peter and the trilogy.
It's almost more of a, it's almost like there's as many tips of the cap to the trilogy.
Yeah.
Like whether it's a frame of a shot or like yeah. like Theo and Galadriel being under the roots of the tree and the orcs being up top. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah, we get it. You framed and built a scene visually the same way that Peter Jackson did.
Yeah.
It's not enough. That's not enough for me. That's not the reasons I love Lord of the Rings. I don't want to see like tropes from those trilogies just repurposed. Yeah. Same thing with the lines. Honestly, follow yeah. your nose.
Yeah.
You couldn't think of something that was even like a version of that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's just sort of mind-boggling the things that I thought they didn't have rights to do, but yet it seems like they went ahead and started to do them.
Yeah.
And then...
Like you said, didn't you say something once about having a toe in instead of yeah. your whole foot or something like that?
It was yeah,
like,
kind of, yeah.
It was
yeah.
like... That's how... I can't remember the reference of when you made that analogy, but it almost feels like they didn't commit either way.
Right, and it seems like there was a switch to, and we talked about Peter Jackson getting ghosted. It seems like
right.
things changed during the product, during like people who knew Tolkien were kind of like out, like seemingly not involved as much, and they kind of said, purpose. Okay, boom.
Like a targeted.
And then we kind of want Peter Jackson. Nope, sorry, we're not going to send that script. He said that. He said they never reached out, they never whatever, and they had to respond to it publicly. Like,
no, I know.
Which is crazy.
Embarrassing. Let's talk about Halbrand for a minute, right?
Yeah.
Like this is something that the showrunners, again, touted as I think they thought they were being brilliant or creative, or that they were going to release this information and fans were going to go, oh my gosh, they're geniuses. But the fact that Charlie Vickers, who plays Halbrand, the actor, didn't know that his character was Sauron in disguise until the filming of episode 3. So is that something that they... made a change during the filming of those episodes?
Well,
is that something that they thought they were being clever and cute and keeping from him so that he changed his portrayal and that we would be tricked by that? Like, do you remember too when everyone's like, he's Sauron, and our reaction was, oh man, we hope not.
Yeah.
Because it would just be like, again, there were things that were way too obvious. It's like, please let this be a decoy and really Sauron someone else because it would make too much. It was like, you're being too obvious about it.
Yeah, and then so if that's Sauron and he's in Numenor doing his thing there, then you're like, well, it didn't say he never was, you know, there at that time.
Right.
But he's there. You have his dark, I mean, like country, like Mordor is created without him.
Right.
The rings, I mean, are
and like, seemingly he doesn't know who Adar is. I mean, seemingly, from our perspective,
right,
or Galadriel's perspective, whoever's perspective we're seeing the show through.
Right. So, okay, I know we're bouncing around a lot here, but like,
sorry.
Remember when they said that they had two episodes shot?
Yeah.
The first two episodes shot.
They took a break.
And they took a massive break.
Because of COVID
stuff. Something that Tom Shippey said that's interesting. He said, in the last several months, rumors circulated about possible shooting locations in Scotland or in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. None of this has yet been confirmed. What do you think about the location debate? He says the exact locations are, of course, uncertain, and this is 2019. it could be several. The shooting itself does not take place, in chronological order, but it's oriented towards the locations. So, let's see. Logically, you try to bundle all the scenes, which we get that. You set them up in different... You shoot it out of order or whatever.
Stuff,
right. Let's see. The film... And film them so that you have it done and don't have to return to that place several times.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But this also implies that everything has to be clear at the start of filming. You have to know the end. There's supposed to be 20 episodes for the first season. So until they've decided what the end is going to be, they can't start filming. That bad boy right there might have been the reason they said, hold up. Because it seems like
that
they
gives
changed.
Legitimacy to that 20 episode thing we heard.
It does.
Remember, we were like, "There's no way they're going to do sitcom length season."
Right, 20 and Tom Shippey, the guy who's like, I mean, He said, there's supposed to be 20 up. He said it.
What do you think, dude?
And so then there's the shift, right? God. Now you go to 8, you get the 2, and you're like, wait, full stop. And we saw in these interviews, people were fired. People left. People were moved around, and direction was changed.
Let me ask you this.
In those first two episodes, well, there's a lot of characters not, you know, like you.
Yeah.
They reshot, you know, you reorganize a lot of different things. And
is it possible to ship Tom Shippey? Or no, because his last name is Shippey. Okay, so another thing, I would give a lot of things to be on a fly, to be a fly on the wall of meetings between whoever met with Shippey and Shippey to see what those conversations, to see him just sit there and try and contemplate what they were talking about.
Well, because he seemingly in this interview says there's a lot of room to have curiosity, to be creative. It seems like he's saying you can do these things.
And I think the right way to do it is the way Tolkien Untangled has. Like
this is inspired
by the text.
We'll call it a sin. Call it a sin. I can't believe I said that.
I said something about murder. I got eviscerated by someone who definitely doesn't listen to us because he doesn't understand humor or satire. But you used to say sin. That's pretty big too, my friend.
I should probably take that back.
I think you should. No, I want some people to come after you too.
That's fine. Bring
me company.
But But the thing, to do this time compression, it's almost like what happened in the first half of the Second Age. It didn't exist.
Well, isn't it interesting too? Let's talk about this.
This all is taking place within the last several. Everything is happening.
Let's talk about this time compression thing, right? Because in
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The first episode, we didn't have that.
They switched.
But even within from episode one to episode two, like after episode one, we were in like the same week, it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like we were in the same week in middle. It was like, this week in Middle Earth.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. And it's like we were just plopped in. Here's Galadriel in Numenor. She's talking and talking and talking and talking and reading and talking and trying to find Sauron.
Yeah.
Here's the Southlanders. They're running and running and running and running and talking and running and fighting and trying to get away
from
the orcs. But that's what it felt like. It was like, man, okay, you went from like the felling of the trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Valinor. to minutia.
Yeah.
And what's his face? I can't even pretend to remember. What's his name?
Yeah, the guy. The one feller.
Who's the opposite of how he should be portrayed. You know what I'm talking about? Our Farazan.
Our Farazan, that guy. Yeah,
who
yeah,
is
yeah.
Not even. He looks like he's our Farazan's shoe boy or like accountant or something. I mean, guys, just go look up our Farazan the Golden and see what kind of art people have made on him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a freaking warrior. Here's another small thing I'm going to point out too.
Yeah.
The differences in sizes, right? This is stupid. I would make fun of someone 6 months ago for even bringing this up, but I don't care. Maybe that's who I am now.
Okay.
But like, you achieve something beautiful, even with the Harfoots, the hobbits and men, the difference in size. And it's like such a cool thing. And you make it look so realistic with all this forced perspective. Numenoreans are like 7 feet tall. They're huge. They're giants.
Yeah.
They're not really men, but they're not really elves. Couldn't you have used some kind of force perspective or, you know, technology to show the difference between the Numenorean soldiers, their size, and the Southlanders? Yeah. Wouldn't that have been awesome? Even the difference in size between the Numenoreans and Galadriel.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been incredible? And one of those things, remember we talked about, like, wouldn't it be cool to see like Valar and Maiar, and for them to be like these giants who just like come out of these spaces and literally look like gods on Earth, and how it would be something new, but something that also evoked like the size difference between hobbits and everyone else. And
yeah,
I just think like, man, all these little things that they could have, like, that would have helped. That would have helped with some story variances. I don't know.
Let's just cut right to this.
But instead, they make Numenoreans like 5'4" and apparently have no idea how to fight.
Yeah. So, okay. Just going off of some of the stuff that they had, I don't know where Annatar's name is evoked or what have you, but is that why they, like, did they not have...
It seems like a stupid reason, doesn't it?
So then they just changed it to Hallbrand, and it's this, he's a king from the Southlands, he's not... It,
right.
Man, I don't know.
He wants to stay in Numenor, and it's Galadriel who...
persuades
him to leave. Because then, like, someone else brought this up.
Is that the Dark Lord who wants to... Who's been desiring to make these rings and this one ring to rule them all?
Right.
And like,
and then who's
that's the guy?
Really, who's the bad guy then? It's Galadriel.
Yeah.
You thought you were making her a hero, and you actually made her the bad guy.
Yeah.
What?
It's
because she was the one who she's the one who manipulates all these characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even Elrond. She even manipulates Elrond. She tries to manipulate, you know, Gil-galad, and she goes after it. She gets Hallbrand to go back to.
Right.
Man, it's bizarre.
Oh,
it just it does kind of feel more like Shakespeare, honestly.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's funny how often they reference like Shakespearean influences, Macbeth and, you know, all these things. And it's like,
right.
Like when they were talking about the mystics, how they were like the witches from Macbeth. And I'm like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You're pulling from the wrong source.
Yeah, you were talking about like the height of characters and stuff, and something that Tolkien Untangled does, and he mentions, is the language that is spoken by all characters.
Yes.
And you want to talk about
having season one and two being done in subtitles a lot.
Which
would have been awesome
with men, like the elves not being able to understand whether it's your Southlanders or these people who were centered around Bree or whatever, like. The little nuggets that he throws in, I'm sorry, they just shed so much light on. They're so much more creative, and they're
intriguing. They suck you in more.
They're Tolkien, right?
Yeah, they're Tolkienian.
I mean,
there you go.
It's something that I think the professor would like, and that he would have been like, "Wow, that's that." I mean,
I think if Tom Shippey watches those videos, Tom Shippey goes, "Yeah, this is it. This is great. How did he do this?"
Quite honestly, it sounds like that's what Tom Shippey thought. Maybe they were going. You have to do. I think in his mind, he's thinking, "Well, you have to do this first. You have to do this whole Sauron, and you have to do this whole focus point with the elves and everything going on there, and then you can get to the." They went straight to, we're going to go to the end of the Second Age.
Right.
And they, dude, it's just everything.
And then we're going to mess up the order of things too.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also, like, Jeez. If we're at the end of the Second Age too, there's a presence of Numenoreans in Middle Earth. There are these, remember, I don't know if you've gotten to the.
Oh, yeah.
Season 3, Tolkien Untangled talks about, you know, these cities, that these port cities. And we remember we talked about the felling of the Great Wood, which the old forest used to be, that the Numenoreans used that to build their fleet.
Yes.
These
yes.
ancient forests, they cut them down, they deforested so they could build their ships. And they're, right. they're, which apparently they only have like four or five to spare in the show. Yeah. Right. Which is ridiculous. Yeah. Right. So they have these cities. Is there any indication that those cities are established?
Yeah.
No.
I know.
Like they had an opportunity too. They were sailing to Middle Earth. They could have gone, at least acknowledged one of those cities on their way to the Southlands. And they don't. Instead, yeah. they make no mention of them. They didn't even make characters even mention them in conversation.
Right.
And it's yep. like they don't exist.
Yep. Yep. I know. I know.
Again, just a missed opportunity.
Yeah. It's crazy. I guess
well, thanks.
If you get a chance, you have if you get a chance to kind of, you know, Goldberry, we love you. We're almost done because my voice is failing.
Tell everyone how much you love Ringo.
Failing.
Can you hear mine?
Oh, I hear it. And it's, how much you love Ringo Power. It's lovely. Did you love it? Did you like it?
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Lottie and I were talking.
Oh.
Please
tell all.
No, well, I told her that I didn't know the stories. You know, I don't know. That's not my, it's not yeah. my area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was really like, didn't have any expectations. Didn't really, yeah. I thought it was visually stunning. I thought,
it is.
Music was
yes.
beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I told her that I like, partly just kind of the season of life I'm in, but I fell asleep.
Yeah.
A few episodes. And like, I think I had a hard time feeling like I really want to be invested. And I this is like, I was watching other TV shows at the time.
Were you watching House of the Dragon?
I was watching Game of Thrones. Yeah. I had never watched the whole
series. Oh, Game of Thrones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, there was a lot of action and like, I was pretty invested in those yep. characters at that point. Yep. Cause I was like,
What's happening?
Was in the last yeah. season or so.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for me it was, I don't remember what episode I am still on, but I never finished it.
Rings of Power?
No.
Wow.
I know, like, you know, some of the stuff at the very end and cause I asked Lane, you know,
yeah,
how was
it
every episode?
Yeah.
How was it? What was, you know, and I would hear all, you know, all of his thoughts. And so that was pretty cool. But, and I would watch it because
yeah.
I there was enough of the story that I liked and there was not any one character or like any big storyline that I was like, oh, I'm going to keep, cause there, I will say, I mean, again, I don't. Because I was watching Game of Thrones at the time or even just any other TV show that you're invested in, right?
Yeah.
It was like, even if there are parts of it that you don't love,
you can find
sometimes
something.
You hold on yeah. to one story arc and like line that you're like, I'm just going to keep watching
for this
because
thing.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah.
She and Lottie yeah. are in there watching it right now. They're, yeah. just, they're obsessed. For the fifth watch through.
I didn't feel that. I didn't feel as,
yeah.
like, and I liked, there were some characters that I really loved and some, and they were fine. To me, it was like, I think this is cool. I could, you know,
yeah.
And if I watched it, I probably wouldn't have too many qualms with it.
Yeah. Yep.
But because Lane was telling me, you know, some of the issues people were having, or even that, you know, like he and you talked about.
Yes.
And I didn't always have that perspective of that idea, just because.
Yeah, because you had no context. You didn't know.
Yeah.
Same
sure.
with Lottie.
And so
yeah.
it's like it's good, you know. There were. Cool stories, cool character. Like I was into, you know,
because I was into the stranger. I was locked in because
yeah.
I kept wanting more. Come on,
and I
love
the
Harfoots,
and I liked a Rondir. Am I?
Yeah, Rondir.
Okay,
absolutely.
It's been so long since I've actually watched.
I know.
And I loved the idea of that, you know, that village and how they had to kind of protect themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Am I?
Yeah.
Saying, is that correct?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. You're absolutely right.
And so.
Yeah, so memorable. Right?
I mean, okay, I was into it, but.
Unbelievable. We cannot get anything straight.
It didn't hold weight in my mind at the time. And it
yeah.
might carry differently if I watched it again today.
Right. But there was nothing that you're like, oh, I want to know what happens to that character.
Yeah, they're
really
not
pulling
too
you
much.
Back to it. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
What season or what episode did I stop on? Like four?
Did you guys know that? The
yeah.
Dead.
He's gone.
Did I watch episode four and then stop or not finish four? Because I think I told Lane he didn't love three, and I told him that was my favorite one, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so it was episode three where I was like,
So, yeah. See, yeah. So
see,
I think...
That's dang, that's early,
like I
dude.
Said, if I watched
I
it again,
high from that premiere.
Yeah. Having no other TV shows in my mind,
right?
Perhaps I would find something to hold on to and be like, all right, I need to finish at least for this.
You heard what you just said though, having no other TV shows in mind, being like, this is the
I told it. I told Ezra, I was like really invested in Game of Thrones at the time.
Right.
Like I was like last season deep.
See, that's enough for me right there. If it's a great show and it's Lord of the Rings, it's gonna be better than that in your head.
But
it wasn't. It wasn't.
There were times during Game of Thrones, I think I told you this as I was watching. There's times that I'm like, come on, like,
yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
we gotta. There was enough to keep. That's what going. I said. There was enough to hold on to. Right.
Okay, sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah. There was at least some character. I want to know what's happening to Jon Snow. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know this, that, and the other. Sorry if I just ruined anything for anybody.
No, you're fine. No.
I know, yeah. But I'm. You know, it's or you know, but there's certain characters and certain.
Yeah, if you have no context on who these people are,
right?
Who is there to be like, oh man? I mean, maybe Durin. Well, that's what happened. Like Durin and Elrond was a little cool.
Well, but then again, I didn't know any of the Game of Thrones story. But again,
yeah,
season one was tricky for me to get into. But how many seasons are there? Eight?
Eight, yeah.
I'm eight seasons in. Yeah. I'm invested.
Yeah, for sure.
So I told Lane this too. If you give me time to watch those, I'm probably going to find
something that you,
you know.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Anyway,
Lottie was the same way. I mean, she, because, and I think she said this, but she was on a show where weekly she had to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it was different. She's like, you know, otherwise I'm not so.
But I fell asleep a couple times.
She liked it. She liked it, but is it her cup of tea? Is it really what she wants to, I don't know, you know?
I think a lot of times too when we say that, we're like, I mean, I like it, but we're kind of being polite to people who are really enjoying it.
Yeah, because I want to be. I want.
I mean, I don't aggressively hate the show.
No, I don't, because you mentioned a lot of things. Yeah.
I think
I'm about to shut it down because
I know. Poor Ez.
I've lost my voice.
Wow, dude. There's a day and age where that wouldn't stop you.
It ain't stopping me right now. I ain't stopping.
We got more to say.
Anyways, thanks for.
Hey.
Thanks. Lane always has more to say.
Thanks, Goldberry. We love you. Wow. We love you.
That was a compliment, not a. Cookies to shove in my face. Those are fitness, fitness cookie in my mouth.
Vinag cookie in there.
Well, he's probably calling for me.
It's nice.
My boy.
So, okay. Should we talk about some of the things we liked?
Yeah, I got 5 minutes.
I have to
try it anyway.
Dude, okay, I'll do it and then I'm done. Because, dude, my voice is gone. It's gone, dude. I can't.
Who is this guy?
If this were the silly Marillion, I'd be...
You'd be back in shape. What's wrong with you?
I'd be going. But you guys hear it's failing. So, as Sarah mentioned...
Mm-hmm.
I actually like this. Now look at this. The stranger's not in the freaking, you know what I mean? That's an invite. So hey, there are things you could have done in the Tom Shippey says there are some liberties. There's things you can do. There are even Tolkien Untangled said, look, maybe you can't name that prince from Numenor, but we can create somebody like him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was cool with that. I like Arondir. I like Bronwyn. Mm-hmm. Just maybe in companion with another big pillar character in an...
I think it's a great point. They can be sub-characters instead of main characters.
Exactly. Because they're good characters and there's a good story that you... Sometimes what's so interesting is that those characters where there's less screen time, there's less people are... Dude, what is up with that guy? Mm-hmm. Who I want more on that girl. I want to know
less is more.
What's up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And instead... Even the more that they gave us, it didn't feel like they told us anything. I'm like,
nothing at all.
I don't get it. And
it's like they didn't even know how to be.
I
need to shut up. I mean, I'm trying to.
I know.
It's just like,
I know. So,
all right. So I do have a list of favorites here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. Favorite character for me.
Yeah.
Oh man. Probably. I wanted to say the stranger cause I really liked him, and I still do, and that would be like your classic Ez response is to say the wizard, the stranger, is my favorite.
Token wizard.
You know, but...
Token wizard or Tolkien wizard?
Dude, I think the best, and not that it matches up with the histories, this is even something that like, okay,
I'll have to preface that.
I'm not even super upset with like the fact that Elrond is the one with the relationship to the dwarves. Okay, kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that's a decent switch, honestly.
That's okay, yeah. And it doesn't really take a whole lot away. You can have multiple people having relationships with it. Yeah, whatever. So
Gil-galad and Elrond have a relationship. That's what works.
Yeah. So you have D4.
Yeah, he's your favorite?
During the fourth. He is...
You need to go watch On a Clear Day.
Okay.
Because he stars in that movie. He's an incredible actor.
He's great.
He was one I was really excited about.
And I even love him, like his interaction with Disa, his interaction with Gil-galad,
yeah.
Even the joke he makes, the humor's there. with Elrond especially.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking D3. Yes, D4.
D4. Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
D3 is not in the... Yeah.
And really, I kind of put those the dwarves together. I thought there's cool stuff with Khazad Dûm. Yeah. Really cool stuff going on there.
D4 was awesome.
But all they needed to do was make a couple of slight changes where in which like Celebrimbor has more to do with them. Yeah. You know, Galadriel goes through Khazad Dûm to get to her realm. You know what I mean? Stuff like that, dude. Yeah. Like, there's a missed opportunity.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You know what I'm saying, dude? That's and, like, Celebrimbor builds those, like, the doors. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And you act like it's almost like he doesn't know them.
Right.
Weird. That's weird for me. So but I still like the character. Go ahead. Yeah.
My favorite, and people are going to say it's just because we met him and talked to him, is Antimo.
Antimo. Yeah. Yep.
I loved Anthony's portrayal.
Yeah.
I love the character. Honestly, I felt more sad when he died than the thought of, like, at one point I was kind of hoping someone else was going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And with him, I'm like, dang it, dude, come on, man. Like, that line he delivered where he said, I've seen enough of battle.
Yeah.
More like for a lifetime.
Like, yep.
It was beautiful. Antimo was my favorite character.
Yeah.
Easy. Favorite arc or arcs? Arc.
So I just said it. Durin. I think I love all the Durin stuff going on with Elrond. I think that's cool. You know, I didn't even dislike the Mithril stuff. I just didn't like that the elves were fading.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that the elves could just have another reason to be interested in the Mithril because maybe Sauron's at their borders. Maybe there's war brewing. There's a darkness growing, and it's not like some darkness, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could still have that weird, that legend and make it work, but not make it their salvation.
Right.
And make it like...
It seemed very, like, anti-elf, didn't it?
It did, actually.
Seemed way more dwarven to me. Like, oh, we need this one ore. We gotta have it. It's how we're gonna survive. It's like, what? It
makes them weak.
It does. I'm like, are you ethereal beings and you're relying on a metal?
Yeah, it's different.
And it's not even true. It's not even in the... Lore, it has nothing to do with... They weren't, like, obsessed with getting Mithril.
And so that's my thing. Is like, I like the origin story. I just don't like that how Gil-galad thought that was everything, you know?
Yeah.
Because you still had such good friendship going on there. And I know you're exploring, like, well, what's the breakdown here?
Uh-huh.
You can even still have Gil-galad pursuing that Mithril, but just not for the salvation of his people.
It makes him look really stupid.
For armor or, like, preparing for battle for Sauron, who's coming, not Sauron, who's in Numenor, wanting to stay and hang out. You know what I mean?
Just slay blades all day.
What is Gil-galad like?
I'm hammering out here, and I love it.
He's sending, you know, Galadriel away and saying, like, she's got... And there's this darkness, but, like, he's not actively out there doing anything
about... Hold on, I just put that together, too. He sent Galadriel away.
Yeah.
And told everyone else she's an idiot, but... secretly told Elrond she's probably right. And then he himself is like, well, to save this tree, we got to get Mithril because Sauron's back.
What? It doesn't even do the whole, and Sauron's back.
Yeah,
you know, that's the other part too. Like, that even would make it a little bit cooler that you acknowledge Sauron. But guess what? In season one, we're not allowed to know who he is until the last episode.
Right.
And Gil-galad has nothing to do with it because he's like, peace out.
I wonder if the actor...
Gil-galad is leaving unless they figure out how to get Mithril.
I wonder if the actor who played Gil-galad even knew which character was going to be Sauron.
I don't know. Yeah.
Was it only Charlie Vickers?
I don't know.
It surprised me.
Yeah. Okay.
Favorite arc?
Yeah. For you.
I got to go with the orcs, man. The orc arc.
Yeah.
Orc! Or the orcas, as I'm going to say.
Okay.
Because you know what, bro? They got that land. They got that homeland.
Dude, they did.
I mean, was it maybe the weirdest creation of a volcano?
Waldreg? Dude.
And then the whole suspense of reality. I mean, I know that we're in a fantasy world, right? But the beautiful thing about... and one of the ways that Middle Earth and Tolkien's... is it's rooted in mythology. It's actually... he imagined it as... a myth that grew from actual history that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And you see that in Peter Jackson's adaptation, especially with the original trilogy. He said that when they were prepping to film, he gathered everyone and he said, we are the luckiest crew in the world.
Yeah.
We have been given access to the actual locations. We've been given access to archives and databases chronicling exactly what this world looks like. We are entering Middle Earth and we are documenting what has happened. He took a documentary approach to a fantasy film, and that's why it connects. It feels real. When you got Galadriel standing in front of a pyroclastic flow, and she just got a little Cheeto dust on her.
Right.
I mean, like, so go watch what happened in the White Island. There's a Netflix documentary about White Island exploding, and it was just steam. It wasn't even like, you know, like other volcanic stuff.
Right.
It destroyed people. It killed people. And I'm thinking, like, you're almost, talk about sensitivity. You're kind of being insensitive. We're worried about everyone's feelings now. You're kind of being insensitive to people who have, like, suffered that trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, so, and it's just stupid. I'm like, that's how, oh my God. Anyway.
So,
yeah, I like the orc arc.
All right, I know we're trying to do like things we like, but yeah, here's something else, man. I'm sorry, dude, but hold on a second. I always thought Mordor, when you read about it in the trilogy and you read about this land, it's where the Dark Lord lives. Mm-hmm. And it is a dark land and an evil land because of him. And it's because of his power and the radiating, like his corruption and all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And right now it seems like one man pulled a sword and they dug some tunnels.
Turned into a key.
And it turned into, there's no power evilness to it. It's just
It's more science. Contrived, yeah.
It's just, hey, we just threw some water in this volcano and...
And the way I imagine it too...
It doesn't have any connection to me right now. And they could say later on, well, we're doing that in season two. You know, that's what we're going to say. There was this whole backstory where he told Adar to do this.
Yeah.
And they set it all up and it was all doesn't his make design.
Any, does, I don't know if it makes any it's better,
just,
man.
It doesn't make it, because for me, it's his power, dude. It's his power and his, it's the way he would corrupt the land.
He looks cool in his black robe, dude. Yeah. Black hoodie looks real cool as he's walking in there.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. It is, it's something that, it's a manifestation. It's a manifestation of Sauron, and it's not what we got. We got like someone was setting it up for him. He's gonna swoop in and be like, "No, cool, nice, okay, you set this. I'm taking this over.
Yeah,
and I'm the Dark Lord you've been talking about. Have you heard of Mladiar Sauron? That's me. That's me. Thanks for setting up this land for me, guys. It is weak. It's weak sauce.
Strange. It feels like you created the whole Adar orc thing because you wanted to play a game. Where in which we guessed who Sauron
is. Yeah, right.
And that's why you did.
Who's Sauron? That's right. This week, we're going to be trying to find out who the Dark Lord really is. Contestant number one, Halbrand. Contestant number two, Adar.
Yeah.
Contestant number three, the lower back ponytail. Yeah.
Sorry. And number four, lower back.
Yep. Favorite aspect of production. So music, special effects, acting, story.
Music.
Writing.
Music. I think we'd full stop at music.
Yeah.
I just...
You know what's kind of... I'm going to say the same thing. You know what's really kind of sad for me, though?
Yeah.
I was like, man, before we record again, because I knew we were going to talk about this. I'm like...
Yeah.
I would love to get to the place where I could watch watch an episode again. And see if there's something I'm like...
We will.
That's it, baby.
No. You don't think so?
The desire only diminishes in my
heart. I think we'll just do it before season two. Because we're going to go to the summer lane and we're going to move on. That's the whole point. We're doing this one time and we're moving on.
So, yeah, I know. I hope it doesn't leech out. But like even the music, I tried listening to the music and because of the association with the show.
Yeah, I get you.
I was like, but the music was my favorite. I think like that got us amped. I think on its own, it is a beautiful creation, especially it's so funny. It seems like he almost cared more about the source material in terms of like Howard Shore's original score than, you know, like people who were writing the story and crafting the story cared about like Tolkien's work. So I loved Bear's music. Overall impressions. We've kind of hit on that, but
I think
like,
there
if
are,
you could summarize it.
I just think there are things that there are some cool things. I mean, there are things that I like seeing Khazad Dûm. You know, I like the mirror. I like there's things about Lindon that I think it's beautiful. I think it's cool. The stage is sort of like the actual physical locations and stuff. I'm cool with whatever. I'm even cool with Numenor. Just not show it in season one and season two. Show it later. Show it the height of Numenor later. So
I even thought the special effects were good too. I mean, like I didn't have a problem with that.
So my impression of it is like, if you don't know any, if you're not a guy or a gal who goes in knowing something about Tolkien, like our wives,
yeah,
you're going to like it a little bit more. And I think you might even love it. But
it's so funny because that's not even saying much. It's like if you don't know anything about this and you go watch it, you might kind of like it. Yeah. It's like that's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, because the things that are pulling me back for season two is like The Stranger. That's it. Right. And The Stranger's not even that's it. And I'm like, okay. What is he gonna do?
Yeah.
Battle the Dark Lord whose kingdom was created for him. Sorry.
You know what's pulling me in for season two?
Yeah.
This podcast. That's
same.
My overall impression, I was just gonna say missed opportunity. I think impression was like it had me after two episodes. Sounds like Sarah revealed something I'd forgotten that I was episode three. I was like, wow, what's going to happen? And then it just grew from there. And then I discovered a show that could have been, and that ruined it even more for me. And I think, I don't know what else I was going to say there. Yeah. I mean, just sort of, it just kind of feels meh. I don't have any desire to watch it again. I don't, I almost kind of wonder too, were those first two episodes just being amped that it was back? Being amped that we were getting into Middle Earth, the excitement of honestly doing the Hobbit Hotline,
it was fun.
Of doing those review episodes where we had our friends call in, those were the best parts of the show. And I would say that if we were talking about the movies, the original trilogy, it was the best part of the show because we got to connect with friends,
right,
in a way we never had before, and it was the most collaborative period of time we've ever had on this podcast.
Yeah,
it was prolific, man. It was awesome. But imagine how much better it would have been. If it was a a better show. I mean,
our thing too. I don't want people to hear it. See, like, oh, you guys are just upset about the story arc that they gave to Galadriel, or that they, try to find these ways to connect it to, like, we were against other agendas that they're pushing forward. Absolutely not from my perspective.
Oh yeah,
it is. You actually, the agenda that they wanted to push forward in terms of diversity and in terms of like strong female leads, all the different stuff. Like, let me be honest with you, they're there in Tolkien and they're there in the original trilogy. And also when you don't, I guess, like, if my problem is the structure and the story, then it really doesn't matter which characters you think.
Right.
You kind of, like, none of them really carry a lot of weight or value for me anymore. And
it seems,
that's my opinion, right? That's just my opinion, you know, in terms of like, and we're telling you if that's probably based upon what we know or what we thought we could have had or the missed opportunities there.
Your voice sounds like you're working on a 1-800 number.
And gone,
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Gone.
Tell me to rub my head with my hand.
Jamie.
But okay, so and to play off what you're saying, right? Like they could have just done both of those things.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And they picked the agenda instead of just like,
and it's like
finding a way, or not even agenda, but like, well, it might have been. I don't know. It's hard to tell what their motivation was. I don't know. I feel like we've been lied to.
So
that's
much
the other frustration. I feel like they promised us a show. They promised us a certain inspiration. And what they gave us was very, very different.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? I will. I don't care. I don't care that I sound bitter and upset and angry because I don't have a lot of their fandoms.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about like Star Wars has a new show every month, it feels like.
Yeah.
Marvel. There's a bit, it's almost like people are so sick of how much there is out there in these other fandoms.
Right, you can fumble something and it's like, okay,
it's not a big deal. You got another drive you're going to score a touchdown on. Guess what? Middle Earth, not so much.
No.
Not so much. We get a trilogy, then we get 10 years, then we get another trilogy, then we get another 10 years, and then we get a show. And it seems like there's going to be 10 years between season one and season two.
Here's your football analogy. Real quick. With this show, what they've done is they said instead of playing four quarters, we're going to play one, and that quarter is only going to be one drive.
Yeah.
And they had their one drive and they fumbled it.
Yeah.
And so there's the game's over now.
Yeah.
And so that sounds so tired. Like, this is just out. But I mean, like, for me, it's now I'm interested to see what they're going to do. I would love to hear them say. I think one of your questions is sort of like, what could they do?
Yeah. Yeah, that is the last one. Yeah,
okay, to bring us back in.
Yeah.
And for me, it is to start over.
Reboot. Mm-hmm. You really? Seriously? Because that's what I would say. And I feel like I'm being extreme when I say that.
I would love to hear them say.
Season one was a mess up.
Dude.
Enough of the. I think we've had more than just one recasting.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the new cast announcements and how some of these people look a lot like other actors and actresses we've seen in the show? I'm like, are they recasting more than one person?
I don't know.
And then it just gets ridiculous. Then it's like a clown show. Like, it's hard enough when you get recastings in series when it's like because someone dies or something.
Yeah.
One case that's really it's beautiful is when Michael Gambon was replaced by
the guy.
Fox Harris. Or whatever his name is. Yeah. Richard Harris was replaced by Gambon. Michael Gambon. Yeah, the other way around.
Yep.
That is like seamless, right? I remember them people being freaked out when there was that. Remember that whole rumor back when they were before they did The Hobbit that Ian McKellen had died? It was like an internet theory that people were like, whoa, no, he's not dead. And they were like, no, he died in a car crash. It happened.
Right.
It's like it was misinformation.
Yeah.
But people were like, oh, my God, what if Ian McKellen dies? Who's going to play Gandalf in
yes,
The Hobbit? Yeah. Right. So but I think about like this one. I mean, this one. So the recasting that we know about is Adar. Adar has been. It's so funny. We haven't even talked about the changes.
Yeah.
You know, like the updates and, because it's like it almost doesn't. We're still recovering from the show itself that we haven't even had time to think about season two. Right? So Adar, the guy who plays Adar, Joseph Maul, we don't know why he left. They didn't tell us. I'm guessing that's probably because he didn't like the result. I think he might have been the lone Tolkien fan.
Yeah, maybe.
In this cast who was like, well, this sucks. This isn't like what I thought it was going to be. He left.
Why did he leave?
He left. Easily the best actor in that in the entire cast.
Does that make any sense? I mean, maybe something personal. We have no idea. I have no clue. So maybe something personal in his life.
We need to ask Jimmy O'Connor because he's like one of his favorite actors. But he's gone. And then the guy they recast looks just like him and is someone we've never heard of.
Dude, okay.
And
so Lane, let me ask you a question.
Interesting. Yeah.
They have 4 seasons left, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Is it so now?
I've also heard it could get canceled. Did you hear that?
Can you imagine that?
Jeez. Like that they're just like, we're going to cut our losses. We're going to take the $1 billion hit and just not make any more.
Dude.
Because it's more of a headache.
So what are they going to do? It'd free
us up, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be great.
Now that I've heard like the arc from, you know, Tolkien Untangled.
Yeah.
Where 2 seasons you spend on all the, like the big war happen. I mean, big things happen in Middle Earth, like between Sauron and Gil-galad and those kingdoms and Galadriel's in on all of it. And she like warns him and can tell. Cool stuff.
It's awesome stuff.
Then you bring in Numenor. And you're like, okay, we got this guy down. Maybe Ar-Pharazôn comes
kicks
in there.
Drives him into the submits.
And then we got 2 seasons of that where we're telling people what's up. And then you go to the last battle. Right now. And that's okay. So that covers the second age right there in five seasons.
Right.
What are they doing in how you talk about the pacing? They keep talking about the pacing. We're going to really uptick it now. You're going to increase the pacing from where we are now to get where?
Yeah, where are we going?
The last battle? That's your next point.
It seems I know.
Like, or are they now going to try? Just gonna or they're now going to try to say? I think what they're going to do is say, no. Now Sauron is here. Now that stuff that happened at the beginning of the first age,
we're going
to
move up here. Beginning second age,
and that's it's going to happen right here.
No.
Within a couple hundred years of...
They're just going to screw up the timeline more.
Within 100 years of...
They're not even going to screw up the timeline. They're going to screw up order of events.
Well, so
it's not going to be like time compression anymore. It's going to be like manipulation of events.
What I think is probably going to happen is there's a foot touch under the table. I'm thinking...
that was an intentional one.
Isildur.
Yeah. And Anarion, who we haven't seen
yet.
Who becomes the king of...
Elendil.
The North.
So let me back up to Elendil first.
Yeah.
These are your Numenorean guys, the heroes. I'm guessing there's a battle between Sauron and his people in Mordor or whatever, and they're going to battle against Gil-galad like they did at the beginning of the Second Age.
Right.
But now you've actually got characters from Numenor who are going to be in that battle.
Aren't you going to have to
help them?
Yeah.
So then are they in 2 battles now? Is there a pre-battle somewhere in season 2, 3, or 4?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also in the final battle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They've actually already been in a Mordor fight.
Yeah.
So, prior to Sauron ever taking control of Mordor, Elendil and Isildur have been there.
Right. Yeah.
And fought alongside him.
Yeah.
They fought alongside him.
Yeah, they were brothers in arms.
And now they are going to go back home, and now you've got Muriel saying, we're going to come have this fight. So the fight where Sauron actually fights against King Gil-galad and stuff, either they're going to show it and all those characters are in on it, or they're not going to show it. And they're just going to have him get Sauron's going to get, beat by far. I am just sort of shocked as to what, in 4 seasons, what are you going to do?
Dude, let alone, yes, yes.
Are you going to go backwards and tell some story?
And you were talking about, yeah, getting Gil-galad to go battle, like the battle between him and Sauron. How do you get him from total denial to assaulting Sauron with this, with a similar amount of pacing that you've, we've had so far? It would take 10,000 seasons to get him to that point.
Well, and then
I like, what, then, what are they going to, are they going to like make up some kind of story with like, well, guess what? Magic fairy dust is going to make you do it.
And the,
oh, magic fairy dust. That's right. Mithril invoking.
So like, I know. The other thing is too, you've made the three elven rings.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Which were the last three, right?
What are the other ones, dude?
Yeah.
What?
What if they're like, they've already been made. We just didn't see it happen. Tolkien didn't say that we did not see it. I mean, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Or they're going to have to, like you said, do it out of order.
Why would Celebrimbor continue making those rings? Does
he, the only thing I can think of.
Does he think that...
To form an alliance
with those...
To defeat Sauron.
Okay.
But again, that's backwards, right?
Yeah, it is.
Then there's no deception. Really? Right. Then it's like... Because then, honestly...
Because...
Wait, hold on. That's true. Because those were created with the deception. So now... Halbrand's been revealed as Sauron, so is he going to come back and deceive him while he makes those enslaving rings?
Yeah, and I think I think Galadriel kind of maybe didn't quite say that was Sauron.
Oh my god!
So there's the hold.
Oh
right?
My gosh!
Which is
they're
like
just making Galadriel look even worse.
Yeah. So what does Celebrimbor go back to Sauron and say, "Hey, bud, you want to help me make 9 more rings and maybe 7 over here and"? I don't know.
Hey, like, you see Galadriel staring daggers at me? Don't worry about her, man. She should be in Lindon anyway. Let's go ahead and make some more rings. Sound good? Have you tried mixing 3 metals? Because 3 is a number be corrupted, if you know what I'm saying.
So there's just a lot of things that seem out of sequence and seem out of...
Unfixable. Unfixable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fixable, but like, are we going to buy them? No. I don't think we are.
Well,
I don't
so think let me ask you a question.
People are.
What if they said... Nope, Celebrimbor just goes on and makes these rings because he learned this from Sauron and thinks it's a good thing to pass on. But like we're saying, Galadriel didn't tell him, so then it's Galadriel's fault that all those rings are made and passed on to other people.
I'll answer your question with another question. At what point does it become a farce? At what point does it become like literally a parody?
Yeah, and then it's
of the
like,
story that Tolkien wrote. Like that to me, that's a mockery.
Trust,
an open mockery.
If that ever becomes exposed that Galadriel didn't share with him that information, why would you give Galadriel one of the rings? Ever.
Right. Then? Yeah.
And then she does something to redeem herself or something. Or if Galadriel doesn't
it's just
share
creating
this
bad story, right?
Well,
like
so if you're matching it to the trilogy where this is the one ring that will rule those other rings, well, that is almost it's not in Sauron's plan.
Yeah.
Because he has these rings made to give to these other people so that he can rule over them. So now Celebrimbor is going to make them, and then he's saying, oh, good, that technique, all of those rings, I'm going to go and make one that will bind all of them together. But the same technique was used to make the three, except for they make... You know what I'm saying? I don't get it, dude. I don't know where it's going to go.
It's not logical. Let me ask you this. If Mordor was created with a hilt key... Right,
yeah,
and Mordor was also renamed with a font change. Yeah. How corny is the creation of the One Ring gonna be?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's gonna be crazy, and we can leave it there because
like ridiculous.
I wanted you guys to hear the rings of power bit because you guys explained it to me. I hope you're optimistic about the show. I hope it wows me, and I would love to come back here and say, "Dang, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. We were
There's
wrong."
Always hope,
but and I hope some kids get it and they say, "Man, I want to go to the Silmarillion." They're like, dang, this is good.
We're getting ripped off.
The books are so much better. Yep. Or like, this is so much cooler or whatever. So.
But isn't that interesting, though, with the trilogy, though? I remember going back and reading the books and going, they're
I
better.
Love them both.
They're better, but they're not like so much better that I don't like the movies.
And I love,
and
they,
I remember
they are
times,
very good companions.
Yes. And
them.
I remember times reading stuff about Aragorn and being like, man, I think I like Aragorn in the movies better.
There are some things that they change a little bit with the sword and stuff.
Yes.
And, right when he goes
just
to,
like being a little more questioning of his...
Yeah,
his role and his kingship,
right,
as opposed to
being
like
more,
very confident.
Yeah, yep.
And like this is my destiny, and try to take it from
slightly different takes. Yeah,
yeah, more humble versus more arrogant, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Season 1 rating out of 9 rings, what would you give it? Should I make it a smaller number? So
out of
it's
9 rings.
I just figured we're men and we're grading the show, so 9 rings.
I'm gonna give it right in the middle, man.
4.5.
Yeah.
4.5.
I'm giving it a 3.2.
Because, you
know,
that's
how many episodes I got through.
I was probably
enjoying it.
Closer to like a 6 or a 7 before I really started to, because I intentionally said as I watched this, just take it. What are we going to have? What's going on here?
And sounds like you're in a prison. Just take it.
I know, dude. Well, I still had problems with some of the quirkiness and some of the lines falling flat, the delivery, some things still were not quite there.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when I backed up and I looked and I said, dang, what are they going to do next? Wait, how does the sequence with the rings work? Celebrimbor, how do these things, dude, it just, things didn't start to add up for me. And I'm like, I don't see where they're going with this. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you tell this tale or why it's taken 5 seasons. Yeah. Just go to the last battle right now.
Yeah.
We know he's there. Let's go beat him.
Yeah.
He's the dark. You're just going to let him sit there now and chill? Yeah. Galadriel? You're just going to let him chill and grow an army?
Well, no one listens to me. I tried. And I gave my brother's blade.
I'm sorry, guys. I know I've gotten kind of, it's just.
You know people are going to say, they're going to say it's my fault.
No, I
think.
This
has come from you though, man. I mean.
If you guys don't, I mean. Oh, man, I just.
The comparison, the problem
it's
is.
It's a missed opportunity. Like you said, that's exactly what you said.
Yes.
And I'm just like, that is what, it's not that the show's terrible or whatever. It's just that they made one decision that you cannot reverse it from. If you did a bad sort of like this first 100 or 1,000 years or whatever, we can course correct, but you just said, we're skipping the first 2,000 plus years and we're not even going to acknowledge.
Yeah, and we're not going to incorporate. We're not gonna engineer any kind of way to jump through time.
Or if we do go back to those events, they're gonna be at the end of the timeline. But we're gonna jump back there to do the event, and we're not gonna tell you what time it actually is. And it's crazy.
So think about things they could have done, right? We learned. It seemed like all the backstory we got from Elrond too, and I don't know if that's like intentional because he's our touchstone in the trilogy, is kind of like a marker for history. But right, we get the whole Mithril myth from him.
Yeah,
and it's kind of this weird CG. It was cool looking. But it was kind of jarring because he tells a story about his dad. So there's another one too. When his dad sails into the West to, you know, plead for the Eldar to come fight. Yeah. And then he is given the, you know, whatever. That's told just literally with the camera on his face the whole time about his own dad. Right.
Yeah.
And then he recounts the myth of Mithril and we go to this weird CGI depiction, and I was anticipating just to see his face the whole time because that's what we got previously.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Whoa, this is different, but also kind of cool." But like, why didn't we get like also
Balrog,
this with why didn't we get this with his dad when this happened with his dad?
Right,
don't really understand that. We could have seen like Arendil in a really cool or Eärendil in a weird you know thing. Yeah. And then the other time too was with learning about the history of Numenor with Elros. And I guess this was
the
tapestry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God dang, like instead of seeing a tapestry from Hobby Lobby, we could have seen like a flashback, or we could have been transported to that time and seen a scene.
And guess who we saw? Galadriel experience.
Right. It doesn't even make any sense.
There's no emotional connection to who that character is.
No.
And
my third cousin's brother or something. Like, I mean, it's like,
so like, go listen to Tolkien Gateways season one.
Dude,
take
the opening scene will blow your mind.
He explains the relationship between Elrond and the Numenoreans and the bloodline and all of it. And it sets the stage for like the idea of death and deathlessness and seeking that and the gift of death and all those different things. And it's all there.
Dude.
And you still could have had awesome arcs with Galadriel. They're there.
Yeah.
And it's just, she could play such a vital role in terms of exposing Sauron and these different things and providing wisdom and counsel. And
so another thing, brilliant.
Crazy.
I'm sorry to keep coming back to this guy, but he really has nailed it. Another brilliant thing that he does too, is he says, you know, it's tempting to think that you couldn't break the Second Age into a trilogy, but you can. And in his first video, he explains this. The first two seasons are about the elves. That's part one.
Yep.
The third and fourth season are about men. That's season two. And the final season is about the alliance between those two groups of people. It's a trilogy right there.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing that he does is the scene that opens the very beginning of season one, he repurposes and reuses and shows from the opposite perspective in season three. Season one, he shows the elven perspective.
of that scene
yeah.
to introduce the elves for the first two seasons. In season three, he introduces, or he uses the perspective of the man.
Yeah.
So the opening is Elrond for the first two seasons, and the third one is all about Elros and how it introduces that deathlessness.
Yes.
Or, yeah, deathlessness and the...
And yeah, the theme of
desire for deathlessness.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and so, or the gift of death, and then the union of the two at the end. And I just think...
It can be done. You actually just need to go.
It could be done. Like this guy did it. He did it.
Their excuse is that there's no way to do this with these characters and human characters who would
if you don't know who would what you're die. Talking about.
You didn't need to do those characters at all.
Yeah, I think we could have done a better show than what we got, unfortunately.
Okay.
And that's really sad.
And that's a great place to stop.
That's a great place to stop.
We love you guys.
Yeah, there is a lot of other stuff to talk about in terms of updates with the... What, you want me to wrap this up, guys? I understand I'm talking too long. There's a lot of things happening for season two, and we will address those at some point. We'll probably do a Drop and Eves in our Silmarillion episodes.
Down.
You're Vigo.
Down.
What's he doing? I wish he'd say dad now, right?
What's he doing?
He's doing raspberries.
Oh my gosh. He's such a cutie.
He's wide awake.
He's playing. He is playing.
He was saying, I heard him. He's going, dad, 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 dad.
Oh, he's thinking about you guys. He's dreaming. Oh.
He's wide awake, though.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it awesome?
Maybe not.
Is that great?
Maybe, sorry.
Cool, man.
Maybe not.
You leave and.
Yeah, glad he's awake.
It's like, hey, you're up all night. Cool.
He's laughing. He's
joking,
laughing.
But nice job. Sorry. So, anyway, we'll catch up with those on an episode and just talk about, you know, all the difference. You know, they're not in New Zealand anymore. They're not going to be.
Right.
They have an all female directorial.
Directors. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, which is cool directors. As long as, like, they're the people, you know, they're like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some new recasting, some new characters.
Right.
I haven't heard anything or seen anything from characters from the last season, though. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Not sure. We don't know.
So we don't really know. Some sets that they built, things like that. So fingers crossed.
I think they basically came out and said the Rings of Power is done.
Yeah. Canceled.
No, as in, like, we showed you the three rings. Those are the only ones that are powerful. Don't worry about the other ones.
What if that's the path
they
take?
Dude, what if they...
And they don't even do the One Ring.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Bert, all right.
So anyway, thanks for watching our podcast. Please leave us, write in a review to PO Box.com.
Yep.
We've been since 1912.
We've been here. Yep, we've been here.
As why don't you say the rest of the words?
Hey, we love you guys. Hey, if you get a chance, if you didn't like anything that we said today, please send us a shadow fax.
Next episode, we'll be moving on. We promise.
We're moving on.
No more real talk.
Done.
Go watch Tolkien Untangled and get back to us. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Remember that, you know, I guess Sauron lives and he lives in Mordor. Did he build his own house?
Heck no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Waldrick
moved in.
Waldrick built it for him.
Waldrick put the walls up in Mordor. Oh, that feels good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.